ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय Today we are reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, 6th chapter, text 29, page 337. Sarvabhutastham Atmanam Sarvabhutani Chatmani Ikshate yoga yuktatma sarvatra samadarshanaham sarvabhutastham atmani sarvabhutani chatmani ikshate yoga yuktatma sarvatra samadarshanaham Sarvabhutastham Atmanam Sarvabhutani Chatmani Ikshati Yoga Yuktatma Sarvatra Samadarshanam. Translation: A true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized person sees me, the same Supreme Lord, everywhere. Translation once again. A true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized person sees me, the Supreme Lord, everywhere. Purport. A Krishna conscious yogi is the perfect seer, because he sees Krishna, the Supreme, situated in everyone's heart as Super Soul, Paramatma. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hriddi Sharjuna Tishthati. The Lord, in his Paramatma feature, is situated within both the heart of the dog and that of a Brahmana. The perfect yogi knows that the Lord is eternally transcendental and is not materially affected by his presence in either a dog or a brahmana. That is the supreme neutrality of the Lord. The individual soul is also situated in the individual heart, but he is not present in all hearts. That is the distinction between the individual soul and the super soul. One who is not factually in the practice of yoga cannot see so clearly. A Krishna conscious person can see Krishna in the heart of both the believer and the non-believer. In the Smriti, this is confirmed as follows. Atatvaj ca matritvaj ca atma hi paramoharihi. The Lord, being the source of all beings, is like the mother and the maintainer. As the mother is neutral to all different kinds of children, the Supreme Father or Mother is also. Consequently, the Super Soul is always in every living being. Outwardly, also, every living being is situated in the energy of the Lord. As will be explained in the 7th chapter, the Lord has primarily two energies, the spiritual or superior and the material or inferior. The living entity, although part of the superior energy, is conditioned by the inferior energy. The living entity is always in the Lord's energy. Every living entity is situated in Him in one way or another. The yogi sees equally because he sees that all living entities, although in different situations, according to the results of fruitive work, in all circumstances remain the servants of God. While in the material energy, the living entity serves the material senses, and while in spiritual energy, he serves the Supreme Lord directly. In either case, the living entity is the servant of God. this vision of equality is perfect in a person in Krishna consciousness. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Kenanjana Shlakaya Chakshurun Militam Jina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namo Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Jaina Bhutva Swam Rupa Kadamakya Vandati Swapanam Dikam Vancha Kalpatrupyascha Krapasinha Pyavacha Pachidanam Pranipashin Pyamon Mahan Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutane Shimati Bhakti Vidanta Swami Najinamne Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesh Sunyavadi Pashchitya Adishitare. A true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized person sees me, the same Supreme Lord, everywhere. Śrīla Prabhupāda offers here a very nice example. He says, the Lord in His Paramatma feature is situated within both the heart of the dog and that of a brahmana. Usually, according to the Vedic standards, a brahmana should never touch a dog, especially while doing his, when he's on duty, when he has to do puja, yagya, whatever. If he does so, if he touches a dog, then he loses his ritualistic purity, and he has to take a bath and put on clean clothes. according to the Vedic Shastras, dog and brahmana occupy different positions. Looks like a brahmana is on the top of that ladder, and the dog is somewhere on the bottom, because it says there is nothing more that was pig. Anyway, dogs are very impure, very unclean. So the brahmanas should not touch the dogs. But Prabhupada says here that the Lord in His Paramatma feature is situated within both the heart of the dog and that of a brahmana. And as we know, in the spiritual world, Krishna has among His pets a dog also, but that dog, of course, has a different nature. That is Satchitananda. It's a different dog. And among his friends, there is a brahmana, Madhu Mangala. And the point is, Krishna treats everyone equally. Doesn't matter whether they are dogs or brahmanas. Ishvarak sarva bhutanam hridesher juna tishtati. So to obtain Krishna consciousness means to obtain the same vision as Krishna. And this is what this verse is about. Like Krishna sees everyone as his spiritual parts and parcels. So same way a true yogi sees that Krishna is everywhere, He's in everyone's heart, and everyone's He's a part and parcels. That's one of the features of yogic perfection. So one who can see Krishna in every living being, and all the living beings in Krishna, He's a true self-realized yogi. The perfect yogi knows that the Lord is eternally transcendental and is not materially affected by His presence in either a dog or a brahmana. That is the supreme neutrality of the Lord. The individual soul is also situated in the individual heart, but He is not present in all hearts. One of the traps on the way of yoga is when one considers oneself to be equal with God. And sometimes such persons enter our altar hall and you know, they do not pay any homage or obeisances to the deities. They just pass by, because you know, I am Narayan, he is Narayan, so what's the problem? Hello, Narayan, you know. So there are some persons who really think they are equal to God, and like Western culture is all about this impersonal conception. I am, you know, we are all equal, and we are all equal to God, and Western culture is all about trying to enjoy some unsheltered individuals. Like here in India, it's still a little bit difficult, you know, to enjoy with the women, because every one of them got like father, mother, other relatives. Well, except prostitutes, of course, they are available voluntarily in the market. But ordinary, I mean, usually girls are, you know, you cannot just, you know, enjoy them like this, you know, without consequences, because they are sheltered. They are sheltered, and being sheltered means to recognize someone's superiority. That okay, I need your shelter because you are superior to me. Like okay, you are my father, you are my mother, you are my spiritual master, you are my school teacher, you are my policeman. So this, I do recognize that you are superior to me, and I can get a protection from you. I can get some good advice, or I can get maintenance. So, but a Western culture is all about trying to enjoy unsheltered women and other individuals, and the root cause of that is, Western culture is impersonal. So I do not recognize that anyone is superior to me. Maybe they are more fortunate. This is why, you know, I am poor, they are rich. But still, we are all equal in front of the government, in front of the inflation, whatever. So this is what impersonalism is leading towards. And you know, if I would be Indian government, I would think it twice about allowing it to, you know, allowing the Western ideas about enjoyment to be spread so freely, like in modern Indian movies, for instance, because you know, it doesn't lead to anything good. But this is just an example how much the philosophy we believe in afflicts our daily life. Like in Indian culture, still there is an idea about superiors. Okay, we have God, we have demigods, we have father and mother. Like if you start learning Hindi, one of the first things they'll teach you is that first thing in the morning, you should pay your obeisances to your father and your mother, to your superiors, main superiors. Yeah, so this is very good and very beneficial for the child. So that idea that we are equal to God is very bad, and the practical implementation of it, I mean, Western culture also has many faults, and you know, especially those who live in the West, they know what I'm talking about, what kind of mess they made there using their idea about equality. So there is a distinction between individual soul and super soul. We are dwelling in our own individual heart, but we cannot see what's going on in all individual hearts. And well, there are people who may see that, and one of those people, one of those psychics, once started to associate with the devotees, and then his conclusion was that, you know, the devotees are the only people, the minds of whose he could hardly read because their minds is a kind of, like he said, it's like switched off. when you concentrate your mind on Krishna during, let's say, a good kirtan, during japa, when you read shastras or hearing to a good lecture, then your mind is kind of not working. So, and if it's not working, if it doesn't emanate anything into the outer space, so how can it be read? It's very hard. this means that individual soul actually cannot know what's going on in all the hearts of all other individual souls. And that is the main distinction. So we are different from God. And it immediately brings another point that, okay, if we are different from God and God is in superior position, then we should worship God. Because because actually this is our duty. God is the source of everything. Everything emanates from God. And according to Vedic Shastras, knowing God is, when I see my Lord, when I worship Him, when I do my service, my eternal service, that's the perfection of the yogic practice. So one who is not factually in the practice of yoga cannot see so clearly. So one who is not doing yoga cannot see clearly the distinction between the super soul and the individual soul. It's just impossible. And in our case, our yoga is chanting the holy name of Lord, or the holy names of the Lord. And like Buddhists have their Diamond Sutra, so we also have our Diamond Sutra, which is called Sri Shikshashtakam. So Lord Chaitanya left us 8 verses, and in these 8 verses, all the spiritual life is described. And verse number 2 describes our main problem to solve. So the main problem we got to solve in order to achieve the perfection of Krishna consciousness. Who can quote this verse, by the way? The second verse of Shikshashtakam? Yeah, please. Go on. Durdaivam idrisham ihadjanina nuragah. It is said in the Vedic Shastras that a Brahmana can achieve all perfection simply by chanting the holy name, simply by chanting japa. A Brahmana can achieve all the sorts of perfection. What to speak if the Brahmana participates in the kirtan? So then he can achieve, he may achieve the highest perfection in this lifetime. And the reason is very simple. The holy name of Krishna or Vishnu is non-different from the Lord. And by chanting these names, Brahmana, or let's put it in another way, a devotee can achieve all sorts of perfection just by chanting the holy names. Because the Lord has invested all of His potencies, all of His shaktis in the holy name. And even in ordinary yoga, one of the main processes is chanting mantras. So without that, you cannot, just by breathing exercises, you cannot achieve success in the yogic practice. But then Lord Chaitanya goes, but my misfortune is I do not have an attachment towards chanting the holy names. So this is a kind of, how to achieve all success just by chanting the holy names of the Lord. And it completely corresponds to the Vedic injunctions. Even ordinary Brahmins, what do they do? They study shastras and they chant mantras. The chant mantras, sometimes they chant the names of the Supreme Lord, sometimes they chant the names of the demigods, and they achieve their respective levels of success. So that's the Vedic tradition. So the key to the success is to chant the holy name of the Lord. But our problem is we do not have any attachment towards chanting the holy names. So that's the second verse of Shikshashtakam. And before that, in the first verse, Lord Chaitanya praises the Sriharinam Sankirtana movement, saying Vidyavadu Jivanam. Sriharinam Sankirtana is the life of transcendental knowledge. So Sriharinam Sankirtana is what gives the life to the transcendental knowledge. If you do not have enough hearing and chanting in your life, you may study Shastras, you may become a Pandit. Like in Moscow, there are many scholars who know, let's say, Mahabharata and Ramayana maybe better than many of the devotees. But, you know, what they do, they just go on speculating without coming to any reasonable conclusion. You know, it looks like, you know, let's say you got a browser or you got a homepage of a website, but there is a... The connection broke, the internet connection broke, so you just push the button and nothing happens because you don't have internet. You are not online. So same way, if you just study the Vedic Shastras theoretically, or you just hear the Vedic Shastras, but you do not practice chanting of the holy names, it's like, you know, your knowledge has no life. It's just a lifeless, you know, just a lifeless pile of words. That's all, basically. But, you know, if you practice, if you have enough hearing and chanting, if you're doing devotional service to Krishna, then gradually you're getting the necessary experience to understand the transcendental knowledge which is in the books. So, and the third verse describes what to do, how to deal with the problem. So, actually, if we put it into a nutshell, in this lifetime, our main responsibility as Vaishnavas is to transcend the levels of Namaparad and Namabhas and come to the level of offenseless chanting, because actually Krishna consciousness starts from that level. According to the six Goswami's definition, one of the six Goswami's definition, Rupa Goswami's definition of Krishna consciousness. Could you please remind it? Krishna Bhakti Bhavita something. Anyway, so enjoy the nectarian taste of Krishna's service. So, and how are we called in Hindi? International Society for Krishna Consciousness, something like Krishna Bhavanamrit, Antarashtriya. Yeah. So, Krishna Bhavanamrit. So, our main responsibility, our main goal as devotees is to experience that Krishna Bhavanamrita, and you know, otherwise everything else is difficult. Everything else is difficult. Sometimes we find it difficult to do active preaching. You know, if anyone has ever tried to do some sort of active preaching, let's say book distribution, maybe you understand what I'm talking about. How hard is that to convince someone to buy a book? And maybe it's not so hard here in India, because people are more inclined towards charity, this, that, they want to obtain a sort of piety. But in the West, it's very difficult, it's very complicated, you know. You know, you gotta become an expert bookseller to do that, and not just an expert bookseller, but you gotta pray like anything to Krishna that, okay, please allow this person to take a book from me. give him your mercy. And that one of the reasons why it's so difficult is, you know, we are not convinced themselves yet. Like, let's say two teenagers talk to each other, and one of them goes like, oh, do you know this Christine? She's so pretty. And then he describes to his friend how pretty Christine is, you know, anatomically, this, that, you know. And the friend not only believes him, but he is experiencing, kind of experiencing the same mituni bhav than his friend, that, okay, Christine is really a pretty girl. You know, she got everything necessary to be called a pretty woman, this, that. So same way, if we have that experience, how sweet the holy name is, how nice Krishna consciousness is, it makes it easier to do some other varieties of service, you know, like active preaching, book distribution. And moreover, as Shiva Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati puts it, preaching without practicing is a limbo of karma. Well, of course we are practicing. This is what, you know, this is what allows us to preach, and this is what allows us to experience Śrīla Prabhupāda's mercy, and this is what makes this society so special, Śrīla Prabhupāda's mercy. Well, but it also means that we should not be satisfied with whatever we already got. Okay, I'm chanting my 16 rounds, I'm attending Mangalarati, and okay, I'm giving a few hours daily towards this practice, so now leave me alone, so I cannot do more. Yeah. But on the next level, I mean, the higher level is when one starts working on one's chanting consciously. And Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that to transcend the level of Nama Parad, one should chant more rounds, for instance. And that's the only cure from Nama Parad, to chant more rounds. But before that, before doing that, you should make it sure that you're doing everything consciously. You do everything consciously. It means that when I chant the holy name, I do not just, you know, move my lips and chant something, but my mind is somewhere else. So at least I should be able to understand, okay, now my mind goes away, so okay, I'm catching it and bringing back. I'm trying to chant the holy names. I'm trying to produce a clear vibration. So we're studying Dhyana Yoga. This is sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So Dhyana Yoga is a mechanical process which helps a yogi to fix his consciousness on the super soul. So this means that technical side is there also. It's not that, okay, I am a believer and that's all, and I do not require anything else. No, you do require a healthy diet, you do require exercises, otherwise in 5 years you will find yourself completely ruined and unable to do anything. And same way, like when you chant your rounds, there are certain techniques which allow you to concentrate on the holy names, which allow you to chant more rounds. Like as Shiva Jayapataka Maharaj once explained to his disciples, what we could do to be able to chant more rounds, you know, we're not likely we're going to have more time for chanting more rounds, but what we can do, how he puts it, we can chant six mahamantras on exhale and one on inhale. Of course, you know, you cannot chant it loudly when you do that. It's a sort of pranayama. You can chant it softly. And to be able to do six mahamantras, you should chant mahamantra very clearly. And of course, you know, the speed, you know, it's like hyperspeed level in comparison with what we chant usually, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You know, it's a very, the speed is very high. But it's not solely about the speed, you know. Even if you can chant very speedy, but your mind goes away, you know, you'll find that, you know, one round takes you a lot of time. So it's not solely about the technical side. Technical side is there to help us. So let's say what you can do if anyone wants to follow this advice, you know, please don't practice it while chanting your main rounds. You know, you can do one round like this, just, you know, sit properly and comfortably, and, you know, take a full breath and do six mahamantras on exhale and one on inhale. So try to chant this one round like this. And also, at least in my case, when sometime I practice this, it helps me to wake up because it's a sort of pranayama. You know, one of the reasons why we're falling asleep during japa is we do not breathe properly, we do not sit properly. Yeah, so there are some techniques, and also as another devotee says that, you know, if you really understand Srila Prabhupada's point about applying ourselves to the process. So this is one of the main Srila Prabhupada's teachings, that we should apply ourselves to the process. Many people are trying to apply the process towards ourselves, towards themselves. But, you know, the proper vision is to try to apply ourselves to the process. So this means if you're trying to devote yourself towards chanting the holy names, then the holy name being Krishna, of course it's for us to realize, but still the holy name is Krishna. Krishna can do everything. Krishna can, you know, Krishna can expand and Krishna can make himself small. So one round may take you 20 minutes and one round may take you 4 or 5 minutes. So it depends upon Krishna. Same way is kirtan. If you ever visited Sirinam Sankirtan there in the altar hall, one of the things they make everyone to do is to clap, yeah, to clap their hands, and it's a kind of mechanical arrangement. Of course, it says in the shastras, whoever claps hands during the kirtan, the birds of his sins leave him. His sins leave him like scared birds. You know, if you do like a sound like this, birds, especially parrots, they get scared and fly away. It's right in the shastras. But clapping hands also makes your mind helps you to be here and now during the kirtan, because, you know, you're kind of following the beat. And another point is, you know, you open your mouth and trying to sing. Okay, maybe you can sing. It's good. Sometimes they go a little bit too high, and you can just chant the holy name or go one octave down. And at least I have to do that because my throat is not very good. It's very important to be here now when you do any sort of spiritual practice, and it's also very important in our daily life. So it helps when you clap your hands, when you when you follow the tune, when you sing with others, when you look at other Vaishnavas and see how what pleasure they derive from the chanting, or at least how they are trying to serve the holy name. Our main service to the holy name during the kirtan is, you know, we are trying to keep our mind focused on the sound vibration of the holy name. It's almost the same as during japa. So clapping hands is a kind of mechanical arrangement, but it helps us to be here and now. And when we do our part, when we, even if it's technical part, like, okay, I'm breathing properly, I'm chanting clearly. You know, chanting clearly is not really a part of the process of chanting itself. It's a kind of preliminary requirement that we should chant the holy name clearly. But it helps us to focus on the holy name. So, and when we do our part, on mechanical level. The next level, okay, when we start chanting japa, the first level we find ourselves on is the level of speech. So we are trying to move our lips, and in the beginning maybe we're not very successful even in that, moving our lips. But soon, you know, it becomes a habit and we can, you know, do it quicker, etc. So, and the next level is when our mind joins the chanting. And on that level, sometimes, you know, the devotees may even not chant loudly. Because, you know, if I do chant with my mind, then I do not require to chant so loudly. Because my mind is engaged. And the next level is heart. When I put my heart into chanting, like Mahanithya Maharaj in his remembrances in about Shripada Indra Prabhu, he said that whenever they used to meet, Indra Prabhu usually Indra Prabhu used to ask him one question: Maharaj, is your heart into chanting? Is your heart into chanting? Is your heart into what you are doing in devotional service? It's very important that one day we should find ourselves, we should find our heart into the process of chanting. And in this process, it's very helpful to study Śrīla Prabhupāda's books. It's very helpful to associate with other devotees. It's very helpful to listen to the lectures. And when our heart is there in the chanting, well, this means that when there is a conscious prayer towards the Lord, you know, to please give us His causeless mercy, then there is Krishna's part. Then our chanting becomes transcendental when Krishna and the Guru blesses our humble efforts of chanting. And this is what Lord Chaitanya is saying about, he's telling about in the third verse of Shikshashtakam. By the way, who can quote it? Can anyone quote the third verse of Shikshashtakam, please? Yeah, so it starts with Trinada Pisunichina. How it translates? Who can remember? Trinada Pisunichina. What does it mean? Huh? Yeah, more tolerant than a tree. Tarore Vasa Hishnana. Yeah, feeling oneself lower than a blade of grass in the street. And then Amadina Manadina, without expecting any adoration from others, but being ready to pay respect to everyone. And the last part of this verse, Kirtanya Sadaharih, one should be always engaged in praising the Lord. So praise the Lord. Yeah. And you know, there are a few forms of kirtan, and primarily this is, you know, our kirtan is Krishna kirtan. If you go outside of ISKCON, you may find many other forms of kirtan. They are also bona fide, like there are like nama kirtan is what we're doing. There are other forms of kirtan like guna kirtan, lila kirtan, this, that. Like a good example of lila kirtan is Yashomati Nandana song. And the guna kirtan is a kind of kirtan praising the Lord's transcendental qualities. Well, and also katha is a kind of kirtan also. What we preach is a kind of kirtan. so there are different forms of kirtan, starting with Krishna kirtan, with the Sri Harinam Sankirtan. So when Lord Chaitanya says Kirtanya Sadaharih, this actually constitutes the, this is actually what constitutes our yoga. So our yoga is we're trying to constantly glorify the Supreme Lord by the means of chanting His holy names and you know, praising his pastimes, his qualities, etc. So the life of a Vaishnava is kirtan, and the quality of our kirtan is largely determined, as Śrīla Prabhupāda puts it, correct me if I am wrong, like 95% is, it depends upon how you know, how qualitatively do we chant the holy name, and 5% is determined by good association. So correct me if I am wrong, but this is what I heard. And especially for those who are like 10 and more years in Krishna consciousness, is it's very important to be more focused on practice. Because when we join Krishna the Krishna consciousness movement, we are the objects of other devotees' mercy. So we are being preached, taught, you know, fed. You know, we like Krishna prasad. We eat a lot of Krishna prasad. We like lectures. We like new clothes. You know, like Mataji's like saris. It's something new, a new style. Well, Prabhu's may like kurtas or some funny ways how you can put on your dhoti, like a kshatriya, for instance. You know, but you know, maybe in 5 years. Your stomach gets spoiled because of the overeating, and you know, the philosophy you can study in 3 years, you can read all the books and even study them, and you know, the clothes also, you know, lose their you know, we do not feel it's something new for us, and when it happens, our main focus should be on the, you know, on the main points of the spiritual life. We may do some other service as well, depending upon our, you know, natural inclinations. Like someone may have inclination towards management, someone may have inclination towards music, someone may have some other inclinations. So depending upon our inclinations, it's very important to be engaged in the practical devotional service in accordance with our nature. That's what makes us more fixed, more stable in Krishna consciousness. But still, the main point for each and every Vaishnava is our chanting. And whenever we are able, whenever we understand the need to work on our chanting, whenever we understand that our prime mission as individuals is to transcend the levels of Namaparad and Namabhas, you know, we should start working on our chanting. And it may be you know, quantity, if we are able to do so, and it may be quality. But actually, the point of quantity is quality. You know, that, you know, when you do more rounds, then it's more likely you're getting more of quality of rounds. And you know, this third verse of Shikshashtakam, you know, which says about humility, and you know, sometimes people may separate some parts of this verse and use them in their own respective goals. But actually, you cannot separate you know, the parts of this verse. It all goes together. So you will never ever have a desire to become more humble than you know, more tolerant than a tree, and more humble than a blade of grass. So you'll never have such a desire if you don't try to work on your chanting. So it's just, you know, just impossible. So the point of our chanting the holy name is to focus our mind on Krishna in the form of His holy name. And when one sees Krishna, when the holy name unveils His true nature as Krishna, then automatically one is able to see oneself. It's like, okay, if you are in the darkness, and suddenly someone switches on the light, then you are able to see yourself automatically. Okay, here I am, legs, hands, etc. So Krishna is the supreme light. So when you realize Him, you'll be able to see yourself clearly. Without realizing Krishna, it's not possible to understand your real self. It's just impossible. So outwardly, also every living being is situated in the energy of the Lord. One of the points here Prabhupada discusses a lot is to be able to focus on Krishna. We should at least theoretically understand how the illusory energy of Krishna is connected to Krishna. We should be able to see Krishna through illusory energy, because illusory energy is what surrounds us. Like a good example is whenever you see a beautiful woman, you should immediately think that, okay, this beautiful woman is a wealth of Shri Krishna Balaram. All the beautiful women belong to him. Whenever people see someone who's very rich, very famous, very beautiful, they usually immediately start feeling envy, because envy is the nature of the material world. And some foolish people think that, you know, if others feel envy towards me, this is what's required. This is what the doctor has prescribed for my happiness. That, okay, other people, they feel envious towards me. But, you know, especially English is a very precise language. Like, there is one song made in the 90s which goes like, "Everybody wants your body." So it's a very precise quote. You know, if you put aside the context of this phrase, it's a very precise words that, you know, you fool, they don't want you, they want your body, because you happen to have a good body, and the others just want your body, they don't want you, because you are different from your body. So we should be able to see Krishna through the material energy, and for that studying Shastras is necessary. And also it's necessary to bring up our mind like parents bring up a child. You know, like whenever I see something, whenever I find myself in a situation, I should immediately, you know, remind myself, you know, what Shastras say about this. And because Srila Prabhupada puts it, studying Shastras is meant for improving the character. And, you know, improving the character leads towards sattva guna, and sattva guna gives us more opportunities to focus our consciousness on Krishna. So this is very simple. So, and but to complete this process, we should understand that it's not solely about theoretical studying Shastras and trying to, you know, to apply hypnosis on ourselves. Okay, you know, I'm giving myself, you know, I'm ordering myself, you know, to believe in this, and that's all. You know, I'm looking only here, not there. Okay. Now, to complete this process, to be able to see Krishna through the material energy, we should work on our main thing, which is given to us by our acharyas, which is chanting. And also, Srila Prabhupada said that one of the main points of decoration, the deities, is, you know, whenever we look at the deities, Krishna is so beautiful, so attractive, then that everything else, when we go outside of the temple, looks like pale, appears to be pale in comparison with Krishna's beauty. So same way, if we taste a Krishna prasadam, nicely cooked and offered in pure consciousness, then if we try to enjoy bhoga, we find the taste of bhoga is pale. You know, you ever got such an experience, you know, probably understands what I'm talking about. And nicely cooked and offered in pure Krishna, in pure consciousness, Krishna prasadam is much, much tastier thing than any bhoga in the world, you know, even expertly prepared. So to complete this process, seeing Krishna through the illusory energy, we should work on our hearing and chanting. And Srila Prabhupada says here about dovetailing. somewhere it was dovetailing. So dovetailing means establishing connection between between my natural inclinations and Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada puts it, if you are a musician, okay, be a musician for Krishna, or if you are someone else, so do it for Krishna. So that allows us to see the Lord through the illusory energy. But final stage of this vision comes when our chanting is pure. Like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur puts it, then when a devotee achieves the level of pure chanting, not just offenseless level of chanting is also very exalted, and this is where real Krishna consciousness begins. But when one achieves the level of pure chanting, pure means one chants the holy names with love. That's the main goal of Vaishnavism. The main goal of Vaishnavism, as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur puts it, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati also, is chanting the holy names of the Lord with love. And you know, this is what we're singing about each and every morning. Vibhavari Shisha Aloka Pravisha Nidrachari Urta Jiva Balo Hari Hari Mukunda Murali Rama Krishna Hai Griva. So O Jiva, please wake up and chant the holy names of the Lord. And you know, we should not just chant, but try to chant with love. So when one achieves the level of pure chanting, then as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Maya runs away from such a devotee. So, and you can see his worshipable Lord face to face. So this is what completes this process. So this process starts with studying Shastras and bringing up the mind. So we should we should make some attempts to control ourselves, and this process finds its pinnacle when we are really chant the holy names purely. But to achieve that, it says that we should put our conscious efforts, and actually, you know, we should put a lot of efforts, because if we are, let's say, on the level of Nama Parat, it takes some time of chanting on that level to transcend it and go to the level of Namabhas. And Namabhas is such a level that you may find yourself chanting Namabhas for a long time. But actually it's necessary, you know, to spend some time chanting on that level and, putting more efforts into chanting. And then one day, by the Lord's mercy, when by the Lord's mercy our chanting becomes pure, then we achieve the goal of Krishna consciousness, and it completes that process of seeing the Lord through the illusory energy, and also seeing the Lord in the heart of all the living beings. and in our own heart. So this is what marks the level of Uttamadhikari Vaishnava. Hare Krishna. Questions or comments? So how do I define the pure chanting? Yeah. Purest. Well, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says that to be able to achieve the level of pure chanting, we should chant in, first of all, we should chant in a servitude mood. So we should chant in the mood of a servant. And the mood of a servant means that, okay, today I may find myself to be inspired to chant many rounds and no problem. I'm not feeling sleepy in the morning, you know, I'm feeling enthusiasm, but tomorrow I find it difficult to chant even one round, you know. Sometimes when devotees start chanting many rounds prematurely, what they do, you know, one day they can complete like 64 rounds, and then maybe for a few days they cannot chant even, you know, a few rounds. They cannot complete even a few rounds. But, you know, the servitude mood means that I'm a servant of the holy name. This means that doesn't matter do I feel enthusiasm or not, still I'm doing that. And, you know, purest chanting means chanting in the mood of separation with the Radha and Krishna. It's very exalted subject matter. I'm sorry, I'm not qualified to go deeply inside. But at least, you know, it starts when we are feeling when we start feeling anxiety. This is how Srila Prabhupada puts it, that to achieve success in Krishna consciousness, anxiety should be there. Anxiety means that I'm an anxiety that, you know, I do not feel anything while chanting the holy names. I do not hanker for success in Krishna consciousness. And when such feeling develops, then devotee starts, you know, associating with the devotees, especially the previous acharyas and exalted devotees, in a different mood. You know, he starts questioning them, okay, how can I achieve success in Krishna consciousness? How can I chant the holy name more purely? And, you know, when there is a prayer, when there is a constant and conscious hankering towards pure chanting, you know, then, you know, Krishna may bless us with that. And, you know, it's virtually impossible without a bona fide spiritual master's mercy. Because a bona fide spiritual master, what he gives us is, he sets up the mood of chanting. You know, like, let's say in some countries like Russia, there are many people who chant Hare Krishna like some psychics. But what is their mood? They chant Hare Krishna in order to achieve some sort of mystic perfections. Like, you know, to be able to see, like, what's in the future, you know, what's in the past, you know. They also chant Hare Krishna, they may chant many rounds, but they do not achieve the goal of chanting. So we need a bona fide spiritual master who sets up the proper mentality of chanting and who can, you know, see our faults and, you know, try to correct our mentality, because we are still a little bit far from the real servitude mood, you know. So a bona fide spiritual master makes us servants, you know. Sometimes he cracks us, sometimes he, you know, inspires us. Yeah, so the purest chanting is possible when one chants the holy name in the servitude mood and when there is a real anxiety towards pure chanting. Because pure chanting means I chant with a pure love. And, you know, I do not have this pure love, but I feel a desire to achieve it. And when there is such a hankering, then the Lord helps us, and the Lord's devotees will also help us. So you got it, yeah? So once again, the first point, you know, is the servitude mood. So I should chant in the mood of servitude. And it's virtually impossible without a bona fide spiritual master's mercy. Because only by serving a bona fide spiritual master we can develop this mood. And then when we chant in such a mood, there should be a prayer. We should pray to the Lord, you know, to please bless us, to unveil the illusory energy and allow us to understand the true nature of His name, form, qualities, and pastimes. And you know, such a hankering is impossible without association with pure Vaishnavas. So the first point is the servitude mood, you know, which is impossible without a bona fide spiritual master's mercy. And then by the mercy of the same bona fide spiritual master, we start hankering towards perfection in the spiritual life. We start associating with the Vaishnavas, studying Shastras in different mood, with a different desire. And finally, the Lord's mercy comes. Yeah. And now, throughout all this process, we should try to chant as many rounds as possible and to participate in Sri Harinam Sankirtana as regularly. You know, and as much as possible. Mm-hmm. Practical example. Well, knowing the nature of newcomers, Srila Prabhupada say that okay, you just add Krishna consciousness into your life. That's okay. But you know, if you do that for many years already, then you may find yourself you know, dissatisfied with the results of such a process. And you know, Srila Prabhupada had a hope that by adding Krishna consciousness into their lives, the fortunate souls would purify their existence, and you know, they would understand that actually it should be done in the opposite way. So instead of applying the process towards ourselves, okay, adding Krishna consciousness in our life and trying to adjust it to our needs, we should, you know, apply ourselves to the process. This means, Srila Prabhupada says, we should mold our life in such a way that it becomes conducive towards self-realization. So this is what exactly what Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur taught us also, that you know, whenever it goes to our psychophysical nature, Varnashram system, whatever, we should you know, put ourselves in a position conducive towards self-realization. So it, you know, this means that we should be in a varna and ashram conducive towards self-realization, whatever is suitable for us. But still, the main goal is Kirtanya Sadahari. Okay, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki.